Despite all of my addiction and mistakes of the past, I have a life now that is beyond anything I could imagine. 10 years ago, I had no hope, no community, no passion for anything. And through this pursuit of God, I have seen my life restored. God has provided me with the opportunity to be a part of my family again, to serve my community and my church, and to participate in this life. For someone like me, who did the things that I did, who had turned my back completely on God, to now get to participate in kingdom work, it's unimaginable. But that is the God that we serve. The God who says, "I will take your chaos and it won't be wasted." He took my pain and regret and shame, and he has turned it into something that serves others. He has given me a new life.
Well, let me introduce you to the real Janet Smith, who we've been listening to her story. If you've been with us through this series, you've heard Janet tell her story over the last 5 weeks. And Janet, thank you for not only telling your story, but for being vulnerable and transparent as you've talked about this. I'm going to give you a little open mic here right now. Anything you want to share, and then I have a question I want to ask you.
So first, I just want to say how honored I've been to get to share with you guys a little bit about what God has done in my life, starting with my sobriety and over the past few years. And to acknowledge that I know that not everybody is going to be able to relate directly to my story, but I think that it is everybody's story, that God is always calling us into transformation and into a deeper relationship with him. And, you know, we all approach God as beggars, yeah? Like, we all have our hands out and we're all empty. And I think that's true no matter where we are in our walk.
Yeah. So you've heard Janet share her story over the last few weeks that she got to a bad place because of her addictions and hit bottom and did the hard work of asking for help. That was the beginning of the change, realizing that you didn't want to stay where you were. But it only gets more challenging sometimes once you realize you need help of going through all of that process, and it's never an easy process. But you got, and I know through that, it was hard to think of how life is going to be. It was hard to think of someday being able to celebrate. You know, this is good. But you got to a place where you have a new life, where you got a fresh start. And so tell us about what that's like now, this new life.
So sometimes my husband and I will kind of sit around and just reflect on, I can't believe that this is our life. You know, we kind of went from this place where we didn't know what the future would hold for us because of the life of addiction that I was leading, to now just having this incredibly full life. I mean, it is full of relationships that I get to participate in. I lead a life group here at Pantano. And I have, you know, this purpose and this calling now on my life to be in this continual process of renewal with God. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And it's not been easy. There has been lots of things that have happened in my life in the 9 years since I've been sober that have been really, really challenging. But what I have really come to learn is that God walks through all of those things with me. And not only is he present for those, but he takes all of the chaos, all of the bits, all of the pain, and he is always working that into teaching me, transforming me, and calling me into greater grace and love with him. And it's, it's amazing.
Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for sharing with us. Thank you. Bless you. This whole series we've been looking about, it's not where we've been, but it's where we're going. And so today we're going to finish up this series called Awakening. We're going to look at the fifth and final awakening, to experience the life that God wants for us. In fact, this fifth awakening is vital to really experience life that's really alive. And the challenge is that many of us who know God, who love God, who know that God loves us, who believe His Bible and His Word in every way, what's weird is that we get that far in our relationship with God and don't get to this fifth level, this fifth awakening that is so real. And I'm going to describe it in just a minute, but let me just talk a little bit more about how that closeness works. Let me use a football illustration. I'm a Cincinnati Bengal fan. You can mourn with me. The Cincinnati Bengals, those of us who are fans, we affectionately call them the Cincinnati Bungles. They are experts at getting in the red zone and not scoring touchdowns. They're a really good team that makes it to the playoffs, never to win one game in the playoff. They get close, but they can never really get there. So where we can really celebrate. And that's what I'm describing in our spiritual life, is that sometimes we make progress in our faith, we're moving towards God, we're experiencing God somewhat, but we miss this place where we know that we're really alive. And so this final awakening is really a prayer. And here it is. God, awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. Awaken in me the confidence, God, the assurance, the experience that I can live a brand new life. The challenge is that many of us have lost hope of that. That's why the prayer is for confidence. We've lost hope that we can change. I'm never going to change. My circumstances aren't going to change. My marriage isn't going to change. Nothing's going to change. Others aren't going to change. We just sort of give up on that, and we never get to that last awakening that life is really alive and good. Now, Janet was able to do that. She was able to get all the way to that point where she's really living. She got that brand new life. We've been over the last 4 weeks, and today we'll finish this. We've been looking at a story that Jesus told. This story is often called the parable of the prodigal son. We're going to finish that up today. And let me just, in case you're not familiar with the story or you haven't been with us, let me just really quickly remind you the story. Here was a man had two sons. The younger son, in arrogance and selfishness, demands his share of the estate. And he gets as far away from his father and family as he can, goes to a distant country, and he wastes it all. In foolishness, it's all gone. He hits bottom. He's in a pig pen. And it's in that moment that he realizes, I can't stay here. I've got to get help. And the only place that he knows to get help is to go home. And last week, we watched as he came home, how the father responded to him. His father runs to see him, welcomes him, throws his arms around him, hugs him, kisses him. He's home. He is so excited. And that's where we pick up the story. But you got to wonder, this son, even though the father hugs him and kisses him, you got to wonder what the son's thinking. Can I really have things good again after all I did? Am I going to be able to start over? Am I going to have a shot at a new life? So let's finish the story. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, it's page 730 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to finish the story starting at verse 22. Luke 15, 22. Remember, the last thing the son has said is, I'm not worthy to be your son. But verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The Father, He is so excited to have His Son home that He says, let's throw a huge party, nothing held back. What He's saying is, let's really celebrate. Something like that, instead of punishment, instead of rejection, instead of shaming His Son, what the Father does is He says, no, you are My legitimate son. I'm throwing a party because I am so glad that you're home. I thought you were dead. I didn't know if I would ever see you again, and yet you're home. You're home. And that's what it makes it all worthwhile. His Son is alive. And don't miss this. Remember in this story, the Father represents our Heavenly Father. He wants to throw a party for us because He wants us to be alive. Now, just like last week, I want you to notice the details of the story that Jesus told. Details matter. They're huge. And for me to illustrate this, I'm going to need a volunteer. I'm going to need you to come up on stage. Security will let you come on up here. It'll be okay. I need a guy. I need you to be really brave and be willing to come up here. And I won't embarrass you, I promise, except that you'll be on stage. But come on, I need a guy. If I don't get a guy to volunteer, I'll come pick. There we go. All right. Yay. Thank you. You actually won't have to say much, so you're in luck. But I do need you to stand here. What's your name?
Zach.
Come on up, Zach. I want you to hold this microphone. Zach, from now on in this story, you're no longer Zach, you're Son. I'm the Father, you're the Son. Right. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So in the story that Jesus told, the Son comes home, He welcomes Him, and then He gives Him three gifts. And these gifts are really significant. Each one of these gifts has a special meaning. And that's what I'm going to kind of illustrate. So you're going to be the Son and help me to do this. The first thing the Father did was He said, bring the best robe in the house. Well, we happen to have that here. Here it is. I need you to put this on. Let's put your arms in there. There you go. Now, this is pretty heavy, isn't it?
It is.
It's heavy. It's hot. I hope your deodorant is working because it's going to get pretty warm here. Son, who do you think is the owner of the best robe of the house? Any idea?
You.
The Father. Exactly. The owner of the estate, the Father. That would be His very own robe. So when He asks for the best robe in the house, He's asking that the servants bring His very own robe and He puts it on. Now, we don't know the condition exactly of the Son. Maybe His clothes were tattered from, He was working in a pig pen and He was broke. Maybe they smelled like pig pen smells, Whatever it is, we don't know. But He wants the Son to wear the best robe in the house, the Father's Son. And then He doesn't stop there. He asked them for the ring. And here's the ring. Nice ring, huh? Would this be your style?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. And it even fit. Wow. It just fit on there. Perfect. All right. Now, that's just no ordinary ring. Understand that this is the master of the estate. And that ring isn't just any ordinary ring. That ring represents the identity and the authority of the Father. And when that ring is put on your finger, Son, what the Father is saying is that you now have the authority of the estate. You can act on My behalf. You represent Me. You can, with that ring, see, back in those days, they didn't have pens. They didn't enter into contracts by signing a contract. They used the ring as a seal. Or that ring would represent that I have the authority to make an agreement or a deal. And nobody would get that ring except the legitimate Son. A servant wouldn't get it. A son would get it. And so now you have the opportunity. You can sell or buy. You can do all that. The Father is saying, I am giving you wild, crazy trust. Now, remember, you're the son that took part of the estate and wasted it all in foolish living. And He's saying to you, you are my son. Because only a son could wear that ring. A servant wouldn't wear it. So now you've got the father's robe, you've got the father's ring. And then he says, bring the sandals. I'm not going to make you take your boots off. We don't want to see your toes anyway. Now, this, you know, with this incredible robe, this incredible ring, the sandals kind of seems like trivial. Like, what is this? But actually, these have very, very significant meanings too. Now, first of all, you've been gone a long way away. Maybe you don't have any shoes. Maybe your shoes are tattered. But there's more to it than that. You see, in that day, and even in cultures today, most of the roads that people walk on are filthy. I mean, there's cows and horses that travel on those roads, and you know what cows and horses do? People don't have Kleenex and handkerchiefs, so they spit everywhere. When you're out walking in most of the world, you are walking on really filthy places, and when you come to somebody's home as a guest, they don't want you walking into the house with dirty, filthy street shoes. So when you come to a house, and if you're a welcomed guest, either right outside the door or right inside the door, you'll be asked to take your street shoes off and put on the sandals or the slippers. And what that's saying is you are welcome into the house. You don't have to stay out on the porch. You're welcome into the house, and you can stay as long as you want. Now here, let me just play again. You're son, I'm father. Let me just tell you what all this means. You are my son. You are my cherished, legitimate son. I know that when you came back, you said you were unworthy. I know that you said you just wanted to work as a hired hand. But notice with the robe, the ring, the sandals, you are more than just a hired servant. You are my son. You who were once dead are alive. You were lost. You'd lost everything, and you've been found. And I want you to know that I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to focus on all the bad that you did. I want you to know that you are welcome into our family. You are welcome into our house. And so then the father said to everyone, let's celebrate. Thanks. Thank you, man. Thanks for being a good sport. All right. Great job. Oh, yeah, the ring. We need the ring. This fifth awakening is to be able to really believe that we can live in a new life. Not just that it exists, maybe for someone, but this awakening is that we actually live in this new life. That new life is in the home with God. We're not stuck out on the porch. We're actually invited to be a true child of God. Even though we've sinned, some of us have sinned badly, we're still a child of God. And yet, because of our sin, because of our brokenness, because of our messes, because of whatever we've done, it's so hard to believe that we're fully restored as a son or daughter who can come into the house. It's hard. So that's why that's our prayer for this awakening. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. And then we can celebrate that we're truly a son or a daughter. Now, it's hard to grasp this brand new life, and it's so easy to miss not living in that brand new life because, it's just hard to capture. But let's come back to the basics. Let's come back to God. God absolutely promises, and he's absolutely clear that this new life is real and possible. And one of the clearest places in the Bible that God says this is in a place called 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's on page 805 in the Bibles in the seat in front of you. 805, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Listen to these words. I don't know of any clearer words in all the Bible. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I don't know anything clear. Okay, there's a condition. If anyone is in Christ, the phrase "in Christ" is Paul's favorite way to describe a true follower of Jesus. We are in Christ when we invite Christ to take up residence in us. We are in Christ when we make the commitment, the decision to follow Jesus, to let him be Lord of our life. When we are in Christ, the old is gone, the new is here. The old is gone, the new is here. Anyone in Christ. Janet experienced that. The son in Jesus' story experienced that. And when we live in that true identity, that we are truly a son or daughter of God who's welcomed into the Father's house, then we experience our true identity. We're not just a servant. We're not unworthy, like the son said. We are truly a son. It's then that we can say, this is living. This is what God intended. This is a possibility. The old really has gone. The new really has come. This is kind of Jesus' way of saying, and they lived happily ever after. Except it's no fairy tale. That's the problem. We think that's too good to be true. No, it's true. It's not a fairy tale. That we were designed to live happily ever after. This is a spiritual truth. And this is when God becomes real. That has been the purpose of this whole series, that we experience God truly as he is, that we experience his real love, that we experience life truly as his sons and daughters. And for that to happen, the old has to go, the new has to come. And we face every day with all of its challenges with this new identity, that I am a son or a daughter of God. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that we won't have any problems. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying there won't be tragedies. I'm not saying that we won't experience loss or heartbreak or disappointment. Life is and life will be full of challenges and struggles. And some of you are there right now. It may be relational issues. It may be health issues. It may be financial issues. It could be a zillion things. Some of us are there right now. And in the midst of that, it's really hard to even think about having a party. What would we celebrate? The junk, the chaos, the mess. A number of us wrote our regrets on these cards in the lobby. If you haven't been here, take some time to look at these in the lobby. And by the way, if you wrote one of these as we finish the series today, feel free to take it if you want to take it with you. These regrets just remind us of the struggle, of our own brokenness, of bad mistakes we've made, of challenges that we face. So what was it that the Father celebrated? It wasn't the Son's sins. It wasn't that he wasted a good share of his estate. It wasn't that he had lost his faith for a while and had wandered far from the family. What the Father was celebrating was that his Son came home. That's what he celebrates. That his Son has come home. And so what does this brand new life look like? It's not a trouble-free life. It's not a life without challenges. It's not storm-free. There will be the Category 5 hurricanes that hit. Some of you maybe are in it right now. Maybe it's a Category 3. Maybe it's a Category 1. The storms will hit. There's no doubt about that. But when those storms hit, when we are truly living in our true identity as a son and daughter of God, then all of a sudden the experience of that storm is different. Because now we are no longer alone in the midst of that storm as new people in this new life. We have someone we can trust to guide us through the storm. The storm no longer scares us like it did maybe at one time in our life. And when we face those challenges, sometimes there are personal attacks. We have this absolute confidence that we are loved, that we have a home we can go home to where we'll be welcomed. When others turn on us, we know that God is still for us. Shame is arrested and defeated because we know that we absolutely have a place. We have a room in the house. We're no longer unworthy. And we won't say that anymore because we are fully a child of God, loved, protected. We belong, we're blessed, and that's the new life. That's really living. But the son had a critical choice to make. The father brought out the best robe, brought out the ring, offered the sandals. The son had two options. How would he respond at that moment? He's gifted, he's restored, what will he do? You know, everybody there in the household, and we don't know all of who was there in the story, but everybody in the household knew what the son had done, knew how he had messed up big time. Everybody knew that. We know that some, like the father, welcomed him. We also know that others, like the older brother, and we don't even have time to get into that part of the story, the older brother didn't welcome him. All he could focus on was how bad he was. By the way, that's older brother represents religion. And what does religion remind us of? How bad we are, shaming us. All that was there. What will the son do? He can walk away in shame. I'm not worthy. Or he can walk through the door into the home as a son. He gets to make that choice. He can leave or he can join the party. He can listen to the voices of shame or he can listen to the voice of his father. And that's our challenge. Remember, the son in the story represents us. Will we believe that we are truly sons and daughters of God, that have a legitimate place in the house? Will we choose to really live in that and join the party and the celebration? Or are we going to stay on the porch and maybe walk away? Don't miss this fifth and final awakening. Janet experienced it. In the story, the son experienced it. Don't get that close and miss it. And if you haven't been here, you could pick up one of these cards in the lobby. They're by the doors as you go out. Let me just remind you again of the awakenings that get us to this point. The first is the awakening that really what I'm longing for in life can only be filled by God. And then we come to this place where we realize I regret what I've done. I regret my lifestyle. I regret how I'm living. And I know that I can make a change. That's the second awakening. The third awakening is critical. I need help. I can't do this by myself. So we go home. And the fourth awakening is when we get home, we realize that we really are a son and daughter who's loved by God. But we don't want to stop there. The fifth awakening is this confidence that I can live a brand new life, that I can actually take up residence in the home that I was designed to live in with God. That's what Jesus wants for us. I want us to look at one more scripture. Some of you know this by heart. It's a familiar scripture. If you've never heard it, I want you to hear it. It's found in John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It's page 748 in the Bibles and the seats in front of you. Listen to what Jesus says. The thief, that's the evil one, the devil. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's exactly what would have happened to that son. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that you can really live in this brand new life. That's what I want for you. That's what I desire for you. And let's not fall short of that. May we come to this final awakening. God, awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. And may we wake up every morning, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of our own brokenness, and say, this is living, because I'm living this life with my Heavenly Father, who will walk me through every challenge I face and help me experience life as He designed it to be lived. This is living, where the old truly is gone and the new ways continue to come and become stronger in our life. Because we're living a real life with the real God who loves us as legitimate children, we can say this is living.